Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Sit joint bottom of League One as they slump to a fifth defeat in seven league games. The pressure is ramping up on Nigel Adkins. Welcome to Charlton Live. So hello and welcome to yet another Charlton Live, where we're going to be talking about another very disappointing display. 2-1 loss at Wickham yesterday. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me to discuss the fact that the Addicts are joint bottom of League One and the pressure is massively ramping up on the boss and Nigel Adkins is Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lou?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad, despite yesterday.
Yeah, I think those of us in attendance yesterday and those of us following from afar as well will have found it another very disappointing display. The fact that we nearly nicked a point out of that would have had to go down as a war crime. I mean, I think if we'd taken anything from that, it was absolutely outrageous that we came close to levelling it up in the dying stages. But, you know, another really shocking poor performance where we were so out of it. Unfortunately, we're going to hear the highlights of that game in just a few moments' time. We're here, of course, my interview with Nigel Adkins, the under pressure Nigel Adkins, where I did ask him to address some of the more disappointing aspects of the display, and of course the fact that quite a few fans were calling for his head in the away end at Adams Park yesterday. We're also going to hear some views from outside the stadium. Lewis went out and spoke to, you know, some very aggrieved fans, I think it's fair to say, but they did speak with a cool head as well, which I praise them and thank them for on the pod, which we'll hear later. Plenty of your tweets and emails as well. I mean, before we hear the highlights, Lewis, and I said we did actually nearly nick something, which would have been outrageous, but you know, maybe a good 15 minutes at the start, couple of half chances for Jonathan Lecco, but then faded into almost exactly the same performance as what we've seen for the majority of this season, until maybe Corey Blackett-Taylor changed things for the last 5-10 minutes. We've got a goal back, nearly nicked something, which would, as I can't keep, I keep emphasising, would have been outrageous. But yeah, oh dear, where do we go from here? But Nigel Adkins, majorly under pressure.
Yeah, massively so. And like you say, yesterday I was quite optimistic going into it when the team came out a little bit. You know, it was a change in system that we've been calling out for, trying something new, which was welcomed because what we were doing before wasn't working. And yeah, started fairly okay. You know, looked a bit more organised going forward. I liked that we had the wing backs, but apart from that, you know, once Wickham got themselves ahead, we sort of came off the gas completely. And again, another really shocking performance where we just look completely inept of any idea. We don't know what kind of football we want to play. We keep lumping it long to Stockley, who's either marked out of a game by two defenders or is losing the ball in the air. I mean, they had that Taffazzoli on him yesterday, who's, I didn't even realise how tall he was. He's like the same height as Stockley. So he kind of kept him quiet all game. It was only really when Stockley came off and Corey Blackett-Taylor had come on and we changed up the system a little bit that we looked more threatening because we didn't have that long ball as an option. But by them, you know, 2-0 down, and it's you're leaving yourself too late. And yeah, a lot of pressure for Nigel Adkins now to turn this around. Obviously, we've got a quick turnaround as well with a game on Tuesday away to Gillingham, which again is no easy task. And with a sold out away end, the pressure really is going to be on because if we turn out a performance like that again, you fear just how toxic it can be. Obviously, we spoke briefly there about the atmosphere at the end of the game and fans calling for his head and a couple of chants sort of midway through the second half and questioning his tactical decisions. Yeah, it's a man under pressure. A football club with higher expectation to where we are now. And as we've said before, it's incredibly concerning the start that we have made. I didn't expect it to be as bad as it is. And usually you lose a few and you can bounce back, especially at home, but we just look completely out of it. We look completely out of our depth and it's a real worry at the moment.
It certainly is. Right, well, strap yourselves in. This is the highlights coming up now from Charlton TV. Steve Brown was alongside Terry Smith.
He can come and claim. Quickly taken. Looking for either Washington or Stockley. Goes to the chest of Stockley. Tries to tee up Washington. Does so. And it's a good ball into Lecco in the penalty area on the right-hand side. Drills it across. Takes a deflection. Takes a sting out of the shot from Jacobson. And it's into the arms of Stockley. Comes back to Suarez. Takes on his man. Goes past him on the left-hand side. Ball into the box. It's a low one. Comfortably cleared by Stewart, but straight to Fanwo. Ball to Arta. Arta, ball into the box to find Lecco. Lecco turns up against Stewart, gets a shot away, and it's in the side netting just momentarily. Thought they might have sneaked in, but must have taken a deflection, and it's away for the Charlton corner.
Yeah, I mean, that's excellent from Lecco.
It's from the ball forward. It's gone straight to McCleary, edge of our Charlton box, and McCleary cuts it back. It's with Horgan. He goes back to Thompson, takes a shot off the post. A snapshot that McGilvery couldn't have got anywhere near.
Well, he comes out to meet and Scowan kept his run going. He's in the edge of the area. Ball across. No Wickham player within 10 yards of the ball across. Fortunately for Charlton, Gunter didn't know where it was going. He knew a beater was close. Didn't take the risk and puts the ball away for the Wickham corner.
Yeah, I think Ainsworth would be cursing that no one's got any end of that. That's a very good move from start to finish.
Come back out to a beater. He reverses the pass back to McCleary. Horan makes a run. Dobson can't get the tackle in. McCleary with the shot away to the left-hand side. Ooze and Oz from Wickham. I'm not sure it was as close as that, but he got his shot away. And I think just for a split second, McGilvery looked concerned.
Outside the Charlton penalty area. Finds a beater on this Charlton right-hand side. Edge of the penalty area. Looking to take on Gunter. Goes back out to Scowan. Can't pick his way past the Charlton defence. So he finds McCleary. Dobson in front. Now gets the shot away and buries it.
A snapshot, and quite Mike McCleary is going towards the Charlton fans, I've no idea. But it's 1-0 to the home side.
Because it's not very bright, I would have said, because that's just something you don't need to do. But I did say earlier, that is their danger man. When he gets the ball to feet, can we not give him too much time and space to take you on, to shift the ball from left to right, to give himself an opportunity to strike? It is a great strike. But we, you know, a bit similar to last week's goal, we've got eight players behind the ball and yet he scores from 22 yards. In truth, it has been coming. The last 10 or 15 minutes, they really have put the pressure on. They've been asking questions with deliveries into the box. They've hit the post. And we've not done enough to keep the ball in their half to stop that pressure mounting and mounting. And eventually we've dropped a little bit too deep. He's cut inside onto that right foot and we didn't get tight enough to make the block. 1-0 Wickham.
Wickham on the attack again. It's into Grimmer, edge of the box. It was a tee-up from Vokes to Horan, who spotted Grimmer in space to his right. And the instant shot didn't trouble McGilvray, but another warning sign for the Addicts.
Yeah, I mean, he's totally unmarked, isn't he, Grimmer? We've got away with one there.
Back in possession, we'll find McCleary. The beater on the overlap, McCleary ignores him, sends the ball into the box, it's a header back across, this time from Grimmer, nobody there, and it goes away for the goal kick.
Yeah, again, cross comes in too easy, they win the first header. They've had a couple of moments in this first half where they put a ball across our six-yard line, no one on the end of it, they've just put a header across, well, it's only 2 or 3 yards out, right across goal, no one reading it or anticipating it. I mean, they're well and truly on top now. Wickham, that is.
Yeah, it was probably a first half hour. It was a fairly evenly contested affair, but since that point, Wickham taking control and are currently one short corner taken into McCleary, who drills it across. It needs a save from McGilvray, and he's livid with his defenders for not picking that up. It was Washington who ended up spotting the danger, going across to McCleary. Couldn't stop the shot coming in. McGilvray had to palm it over the bar.
Yeah, and that's two. So you can be forgiven for getting caught unawares of one short corner in the first 45, but we can't switch off twice in a game.
Back out to the left-hand side and a beater. Crossfield ball, Pierce gets a flick on it. I think it's important he did. It's run through to Horan. Horan back to Jakobsen. Jakobsen, ball into the box. It's a deep one. A beater's there, heads it back across. McCleary with a simple header has made it 2-0.
Yeah, and I said earlier that you just can't keep allowing crosses to come into your box without getting tight. We're getting pulled all over the place in terms of our formation. Players aren't sure who to mark. They're not sure who goes out to get tight. But someone needs to get tight and stop crosses. Not only did we not stop the cross and we weren't tight, we weren't anywhere near the header. We put it back across the goal and we weren't anywhere near McCleary, who's headed in from... I mean, he will not have a simpler goal in his entire career than that one there. He could have done anything with any part of his body to put that into the back of our net, and we didn't get near the crosser, we didn't get near the header of the ball back across the goal, and we didn't get near the player that put it in the back of our net. 2-0.
The shades of the two goals that were scored by Cheltenham on Saturday, where nobody stopping crosses and nobody marking men in the box. Can he get a shot away? Lee instead touches it right to Famo. Ramo finds Lee again in the box, takes the shot, deflected off of Jakobsen. It's another important touch from the left back, and Charlton will have another corner. Corner taken. Lavelle jumps, gets his head there, Lavelle, and he scores. Sam Lavelle, it's his opening goal for the Addicts, brings Charlton back in the game with 3.5 minutes or so left to play. Can be an interesting few minutes as well.
Well, let's deal with the goal first. The delivery to the far post was exquisite, and it was well met by Lavelle. It's a very, very powerful header that beats Stockdale at his near post. He doesn't come across. I think he's been caught out by the power of the header. He didn't come across his goal quick enough to make the save, and that does make for a rather interesting last couple of minutes.
Davison's there as well. Pierce gets something on it, and it drops to Washington. Drops it to Davison. Washington wants one. Flick on! Goal! Just past the post. I think it was Taffazzoli who got the last touch, and it's just past the right-hand post and away for the corner.
Yeah, and it was a really poorly struck shot that's hit a defender and gone wide, but Stockdale again has got his weight transferred to the left, and if that's inside the post, he's never getting across to make the save.
Lee this time with the corner sends it into the box. It's a tricky one. Oh, and he's dropped it to keeper. Stockdale can't come, and he's getting to it. 6 yard box cleared away. Charlton within inches of getting another equaliser. Arter picks it up at the Addicts. Ball into the box, cleared away by Jakobsen.
Looking for a cross up, a crossing opportunity, gets it back to Arter. Takes a shot, deflected, and Taffazzoli clears it away. And that's the last action of the game. Charlton made a fist of it in the last 10 minutes or so of the game, but the damage had already been done in the first 70.
There we go, the highlights from Charlton TV, thanks to Brownie and to Tell. It doesn't make it any easier. I mean, all right, let's get straight to it then, Lewis. In or out, Nigel Adkins? I think we're there now. We heard the chants from the fans, plenty calling for his head, plenty of tweets and emails coming in along the same lines. I think on this show we always try and be very level-headed. We don't try to jump the gun, but we're certainly having this conversation now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And, you know, it's a difficult one. Like we say on here, we try to to keep side with the manager and you know have faith that they're able to turn it around. You know, Nigel Atkins is no newbie to this game. He's a manager with a strong CV at this level. He's achieved great things with Scunthorpe and Southampton at this level previously. He's got a great record of bringing youth through and developing youth players. He's a manager that's got a great CV at this level. At the moment here, it doesn't seem to be working. And it's concerning because the back end of last season, we were fairly impressive under him. But the problem that's kind of stuck out, even in that moment when we were performing and we just missed out on those playoffs last year, the issue that was always called into question was the way we played and the style and opting for that long ball to Jaden Stockley. And I think Tom's mentioned it before that as good a signing as Jaden is, that there were some sort of sides thinking, oh, that doesn't mean we play long ball all season. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. And it's not even a long ball that's coming off because there's no one up there with him. And it's there's these, you know, tactical decisions and things that are coming into question. I thought yesterday that the decision to leave Charlie Kirk and DJ at home was a strange one, because when we brought on a natural winger in Corey Blackett-Taylor, that's when we looked the most dangerous. And for whatever reason, that hasn't worked. Whether Wickham are better prepared for it and have caught us out there, I don't know. But whatever's happened, we lined up with the wing-backs and it wasn't effective. It pulled Akinfanwo out of position on the left-hand side and it pulled Lavelle out of position on the right. And then you had Pierce in the middle trying to mop up, and it was causing all sorts of chaos. And then, like I say, when we changed the system around and we brought on a natural winger, Corey Blackett-Taylor was having a field day. He was our best player for those. He was on the pitch for, I don't even know how long, 10, 15 minutes. And it completely changed the way we set out, and he caused them all sorts of chaos. And that for me, especially with those two wingers, we've spoken about Kirk needing an attacking left back to maybe come out of his shell a little bit more. That's how we played best at Crewe. We've got Papasuarian, who started yesterday, but we leave Kirk at home. DJ, I don't think, based on how he started, given how negatively we've started as a team, that he deserved to be dropped. I think he's been one of our best performers. And if you look at the end there, if you'd have had Corey Blackett-Taylor one side and DJ on the other, we would have been really pushing for an equaliser, and if we'd even been in that position in the first place. But these are all things that have come and gone now, and we have to just deal with that. But I understand the frustration with fans. I mean, there will be serious questions over whether Nigel is the right man for the job. I'd love to give him the time to turn it around, because
How much time? Because I mean, I asked him how long you allow to a side to gel, okay, and that is one of the mitigating circumstances. And this is obviously comes down to the ownership as well, the fact that the transfer window was slow. And effectively, we're starting again. But in the meantime, you need to see an improvement. And we've not seen an improvement. If anything, we're regressing. So how much time do you give him before, you know, you have to say enough's enough and just accept it's not going to work?
Yeah, that's the side I'm on, really. You know, I feel like I'd like to give him time. But I think given where we are at the moment and given the expectations set at the start of the season and where we are as a football club right now and where we've been, I don't think he has much left. I mean, the Gillingham game on Tuesday, potentially, I think could be make or break for him. You know, it's a side that are struggling a little bit as well. And we've got to be going there trying to get the win, because we have to turn this around, because the next two home games, back to back, again, another Saturday, Tuesday, against Portsmouth and Bolton, who have both had fairly decent starts to the season. And, you know, if we underperform in both of those games off the back of a defeat to Gillingham, I mean, I can't. If we don't pick anything up in these next three games, I'd be very, very surprised if Nigel's still here.
How much of the blame does the ownership and the transfer group, or whatever they call themselves, take for this as well? That slow transfer window, we weren't ready to start the season. We said that on Thursday, but it plays a part in it, you know. And obviously, this isn't exonerating Nigel from any of the blame, because, like I say, it's his team now, and he'll know very well that he has to sort it out as soon as possible. But there's also this other part of it as well, which I think is fair to say. The fact that the slow transfer window has meant we've gone into this season completely unprepared, and it's cost us 7 games already. And if we're being honest, probably pretty much already ruled us out of the promotion race. Not far off it, surely.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was talking to my friend Kirky yesterday at the game, and we were both thinking, surely that our season is not over before the end of September. But there's a real possibility that that's the case, because we spoke about it a little bit off air before we came on. It's completely contradictory the way it's like this has played out, because when the transfer window was slow and questions were being asked, the answer was always, you've got to wait to the end to get the best players. You know, there's some truth in that. I agree. There probably are clubs waiting to do business before they let other people go. Like, you know, Lecco, for example. Boya might not have let him go if they didn't get Troy Deeney in or whatever. So I get that to an extent. But also, you can't now say, well, we've only just bought the players in, so they need time to gel, because you're giving teams like a 2-month head start. And if we've got serious aspirations and ambition to get out of this division this year, you know, we might do, but we're going the wrong way. The way we're playing at the moment, we might get out of it going down. But I don't think that'll be the case. But also, the expectation, we've said this before, was set at the start of the season and before the start of the season by Thomas, by Nigel, and fans will buy into that energy because we have not had that for a long time. Because we've not had owners that care, and we've had absent owners that aren't around on the footballing side whatsoever. Now we have an owner that's coming in and he's present. He was at the game yesterday and he would have heard the boos and the chance for Adkins to go out. So how he reacts to that is interesting to see. But, you know, now that everything's been raised naturally because of this new owner bounce, and because we've come out at the end of last season when Hull are lifting the trophy at the Valley saying that'll be us next year, and we've come out and said we're going to blow the league apart, fans will buy into that because we haven't had that before. We've just worked on a shoestring and, you know, performed miracles by either getting promoted at Wembley or unluckily going down. But that's where we are at the moment. You know, fans in their head are thinking we should not be in this division, which we shouldn't be. I think I've said before, no one has a God-given right to get promoted, but as a football club, we should not be where we are. I mean, the fact that we're talking about Charlton sat joint bottom of League One is concerning. And, you know, that's why I meet with Nigel. Sadly, it doesn't all fall on his shoulders, I don't think, at all. I think we've made mistakes in the build-up to the season with recruiting, and people need to take responsibility for that as well, because I'm not sure that was all on Nigel. I imagine he wanted a team in at the start of pre-season. But we won't know those things. They're behind the scenes. But mistakes have been made. And sadly, the manager will be the one that takes the fall for it. And, you know, as we say, it probably rightly takes the blame for some of the performances at the moment and the way we've set out and the way we play, because he's the one spending the time with them on the training ground. And, you know, ultimately, these next three games for us are huge. Mm. And if we get nothing, then I can't see Nigel being here.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that Thomas obviously was in attendance there. I went on Twitter again after the game, which he does after pretty much every game. It says, today's loss puts us in a difficult position. We have to start playing better. Towards the end, we gave ourselves a chance. We need more of that every minute on the pitch. Now, I mean, I do think that Thomas probably heaps a little bit of pressure on himself just by feeling the need to express an opinion after every game. I don't think that's something that every owner would want to be doing, but that is something that Thomas decided to do. And because of that, we're going to talk about it. And sure enough, I'm sure people are going to notice the change in tone there. It puts us in a difficult position. I mean, you can read it whichever way you want, but when he puts it out there, you're going to read it and make a decision. What's he thinking on that? And again, you look at that and you think, well, the owner is coming out and saying we're in a difficult position. Again, that is more pressure on Nigel Adkins.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree. It's worded in a way that we've not seen from him before. You know, by difficult position, do you mean it's a difficult position because we're so far off the playoff race and we're sat in the relegation zone? Or is it a difficult position because he might be forced to make a change and the man that he's brought in to replace Lee Bowyer hasn't worked out? You know, it's difficult. I personally think Thomas will want to give him time because it's his man, and it's a difficult one to call because the fan pressure will build very quickly. I mean, we saw yesterday it's starting to get to that point. I called it a few weeks ago when there were boos against Wigan. It was, you know, I was thinking, oh, something's not right. Then there were the boos against Cheltenham, and I was thinking, you know, two more games and these boos will turn into, you know, Adkins out, and sadly that's become the case. So the problem is at the moment is where we go if he does go, because I don't know out there in the market who you'd go for to bring in. I think the natural person to take it would be Johnny Jackson, and I think he'd probably be the fans' preference to take it as well. There were a few chants of Johnny Jackson's Red Army yesterday, but he'd have a job on his hands. You know, anyone that takes that role at the moment has got a job on their hands if Nigel's not here, because the players look completely devoid of any confidence whatsoever. You know, they look all over the place. There's frustration in every single player out there. You could see him sort of stamping and shrugging yesterday at 2-0 down, and that's not right. You need someone in that dressing room that can lift that, and at the moment I don't see anyone there capable of doing that apart from Johnny Jackson, and whether that's something that, that comes to fruition if Nigel does go, then that's, that remains to be seen. But regardless of whoever gets it, if he's not here, it's a tough job because we're so far off that playoff race already that I think our season ambition is going to change massively.
Mm. I mean, we've not really spoken about the aspects of the performance itself. You know, probably did have a decent 15 minutes or so, actually. I think 15, 20. I think that was probably what the... I remember sort of looking at the tweets midway through the first half and saying, and seeing people saying, yeah, this is better. And I think I agreed it did feel a little bit better. But then after maybe Jonathan Lecco seemed to tire after about 20 minutes, we faded again. And, I mean, the goal from Gareth McCleary... 34-year-old Gareth McCleary, I saw him score his first ever goal in senior football playing for Bromley against Ramsgate about 15 years ago, but he's still going and sort of made us look a bit silly at times, McCleary. And I mean, not closed down for the first goal, given too much space. Second one, two players unmarked, basically whoever headed it back across, and McCleary himself for the header. I mean, these just simple defensive errors that we've been making time and time again. And again, it comes down to the first day of the season when we got our first clean sheet and Nigel wanted to see another 24. Well, I think we've seen, what, one since then?
Yeah, it's not good at all. And like you say, McCleary had a field day. He probably, in all those, since you saw him play at Bromley 15 years ago, he's probably not had an easier afternoon than he had yesterday, because his first goal, he was given all the time in the world to pick out that finish just before half-time. That changes the whole dynamic of the team talk before we go in. Especially, as you say, we did have that sort of strong 15-minute spell at the start where things did look better and the change in system was working. But, you know, this is our common theme. We have this every week now. It's, you know, even Nigel comes out and says, really good 20 minutes, and then a game's 90 minutes, you know, and that's the issue. We do not seem to have it in the tank to be able to keep up, you know, a momentum if we're playing well. And the spells that we do have, we don't capitalise on it. We just sort of, you know, we didn't really create any chances yesterday until at the end. You know, we absolutely peppered them at the end. But in the build-up to that, it felt like we were just, you know, floating around in midfield with it, trying to pick out passes. There were so many slack passes yesterday. I've never seen us give the ball away so much as yesterday. It was absolutely shocking. And yeah, you know, you go in at 1-0 at half time, got to come out strong. We didn't. Then again, a mistake, second goal, McCleary completely open again, makes it 2-0. And that's when the fans turn. And then only then do we start making changes. And yeah, as you say, the last, what, 5-10 minutes, we had a bit of a spell, got ourselves back into it with Lavelle, but about, you know, 80 minutes too late, really. It was really, really disappointing. And I think you said in the intro, if we'd have got anything out of that game, which we very nearly did at the end, it would have been a total injustice to Wickham.
Yeah. I mean, we should mention Harry Arter, and I think this is probably the first time I've mentioned his name since before kickoff yesterday. Did he make an impact on the game? I'm not sure anywhere near enough as what Nigel Atkins would have hoped.
Yeah, early days. And I was saying yesterday, I think he hasn't played a lot of football, has he, at club level? I think he's played a bit for Ireland, but I can't remember the last time he made an appearance for Forest. So he is going to be rusty. He's come in and there's a lot of expectation around him because he's a great footballer. You know, he started his career here, got on to have a fairly decent career and played in the Premier League with Bournemouth and a decent standard in the Championship with the likes of Fulham and Forest. So him coming in is exciting. I'm really excited about. And there was probably, you know, given everything that's going on at the moment and the negativity, there's too much pressure on these players' shoulders that are coming in, you know, like the Jonathan Lecos, like the Harry Arters, like the Pap Suarez, to hit the ground running immediately. You know, Pap Suarez barely played a game of football in years. The same Harry Arter hasn't played much. Jonathan Lecco has played a bit at Birmingham, but struggled to get in the side, and that's why he's on loan to us. We're piling so much pressure on these players coming in, and it's going to burn them out. Like you said, Jonathan Lecco probably was blowing after, what, 20 minutes yesterday because he's not fully fit. Harry Arter got through the 90 yesterday, which is a bit of a miracle. You know, Pap Suarez came off early in the second half, did okay, but it didn't set the world alight, but I don't think anyone did. So, you know, there's time for Arter to make an impact, and I do think he will. I think he's going to be a very important player for us, but he needs to be given the time, and at the moment it's hard for fans to accept giving a player time because of how bad we are.
And just very quickly, I mean, we should have a word for Elliot Lee. Did okay when he came on, but particularly Corey Blackett-Taylor, you know, certainly for me the only real bright spark from yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he was absolutely outstanding, and that is massive credit to him, because when he came in, there was a bit of disappointment with, you know, track record being at Tranmere, being released by Tranmere, a few rumours about potential attitude, you know, and dropping off if a team's up against it. You know, we were up against it yesterday, but he didn't put his foot off the gas whatsoever. He came on and gave 110%, and he's probably the only player that can say that yesterday. Really impressed with him. And I think he's put himself in that starting 11 for Tuesday. Why not? You know, he came on, looked dangerous, caused absolute nightmares in an area that we hadn't threatened at all for the entire game. And yeah, really, really pleased for him, because like you say, he came with a bit of a reputation for not being the best of players in terms of attitude, but his performance against Crawley in the Cup was outstanding. And when he came on yesterday, I thought he was magnificent. So I really do hope I see him in that starting 11 on Tuesday.
Excellent stuff. Right, then, he's a man under pressure. Let's hear from Nigel Adkins. I spoke to the Alex boss after the game at Wickham and asked for his thoughts on the defeat at Adams Park.
Well, listen, we knew it was going to be a challenging fixture because obviously Gareth Ainsworth's done a great job here at Wickham for many, many years. They've just come down from the Championship. They've got a way of playing is very difficult to play against. Obviously, I've changed the formation to try and deal with that, and everyone could see, you know, the ball's coming forward, we had to deal with that, and, you know, for the first half hour we've done really, really well. And then for me, you know, we knew they were going to press onto us. Could we bypass that press and just dink the ball over the top? Maybe we didn't do it with the quality that we needed to do, but then likewise there's an opportunity to play through, and maybe we didn't do that as well as we could have gone and done. And obviously Gareth McCleary scores a goal bang on half time. That changes the complexion of the game, if you like. We've come out, and again from my point of view, I think the introduction of Corey Blackett-Taylor was really good. You know, he's come on there. Pape's done really well in the time that he's played. It's his first start for us. We knew we got several players who were not ready to play 90 minutes of football yet. We're trying to introduce them all to it. But Corey Blackett-Taylor's done really well. And then, like, Elliot Lee replacing Jonathan Lico as well, just maybe to link the play a little bit more. But Harry Arter making his first start for the game. George Dobson coming back in midfield. So, and obviously, we then had a late rally towards the end. Great header from Sam Lavelle. Him a set piece, and obviously there was oohs and ahs then that things maybe didn't drop, but unfortunately we've ended up on the wrong side of a 2-1 scoreline again.
Disappointment again that Charlton really struggled to impose themselves upon the fixture until those final 5 minutes.
Well, I think you've got to turn around and have a look at the opposition as well, because they know they're going to press. You know Gareth's team, they're not going to allow you 5 seconds on the ball, and then I'm talking about when we do get the ball, have we got the quality to go and bypass that? And that's something obviously we've got to keep working on.
Obviously, the results will just mean that the pressure will be ramping up, and the fans have started to have their say today. How difficult is it to sort of deal with all that whilst trying to get your side out of a rut as well?
Well, listen, that's football. You know, we're all aware of that. The fans on the large have been great, getting right behind the players. I understand the frustration, because at the end of the day, you know, Charlton, we need to be getting out of this division. We need to be winning every single game that we're looking to go and play, and we haven't done that today. But you could see the supporters were right behind the team. But obviously, when we didn't, you know, we've gone behind, it makes it a little bit more challenging. That's what happens. It's human nature. How do you get around it? We're back in again tomorrow. We've got an honest, hard-working group of players, and we've all just got to, you know, get ourselves ready for the next game, which is going to be a good one at Gillingham on Tuesday.
Obviously, it has been a very disappointing start. Obviously, no one's trying to come away from that. But I think the fact that it's not just the results, I think a lot of fans feel that Charlton haven't really been in as many games as they'd expect to. Is that a fair comment?
Listen, I think when we look at last season when I've come in, we established a formation of a 1-4-3-3, if you like. Changed it in one game when we played Accrington, and that was like horses for courses, the nature they played, like we've gone and done today. Alex Gilby was a big part of that, by the way. But, you know, we lost one of the 10 games, and we've done all right. And we've started this season looking to do that. Obviously, we lost personnel. Youngsters have done great. And now the last couple of games, we went with a 2 in a good win against Crewe. A few more players come in. Excellent victory, 6 against Crawley. Obviously, it was disappointing last week against Cheltenham for the first half. Second half was a little bit better. But we were on the wrong scoreline. And from my point of view, my teams have always played football. We've always played out. And that's where we're trying to build towards. What we've got now is a large group of players now that have just come in. Competition for places that talk about is important. But we've got to find that identity and that way of playing that's going to give ourselves an opportunity to win the games of football. Yeah, because as you rightly say there now, it's, you know, you need to start getting points on the board. And we haven't got that luxury of trying to find a way to go and play. It's kind of like you've got to find a way to play, but you've got to go and win the next game of football as well. That's where, as you say, the pressure comes from. was it the expectation of winning the next game.
Well, you mentioned yourself after the game last weekend against Cheltenham that I think you were getting a bit frustrated that Cheltenham looked to be going long. Perhaps maybe that's the easy method at times. Do you think sometimes the players seem to fall into that trap again today? Because I felt the fans behind the goal every time a long ball went in, they felt a bit disappointed with that.
Yeah, I said that to the players before the game and during the game and at half time. The whole idea, we knew they would come and press. And ultimately what we were trying to do is suck them in so we could play three against three in their half of the pitch, you know, with a Jaden Stockley, with a Jonathan Leko, and a Connor Washington, because if you wanted to go and play, we knew they were going to press. And then they drop back a little bit and try and block the space, and then there's a space to go and play. Did we create that enough? Were we brave enough to get on the ball at that time to go and do it? That's something we've got to go and work on. And the players have made it perfectly clear, you know, I want us to be a passing side. But likewise, you have to understand as well, sometimes confidence can wane. People will play a safer pass more than not. We do have a big target man who's very effective in Jaden Scott Stockley. You know, maybe what I have to do is take him out of the equation, and you're forced to play a little bit more. But I don't really want to be... It's time for me to reflect and contemplate, because, as I say, Jaden's one of the best strikers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, because you did make six changes coming, so it's clear you are still trying to find this sort of winning formula with that side, with your new players coming. You still, I mean, how long do you think it will take to sort of get that gel in and find your best 11?
Well, as I said, for me, I wanted to find, when I came in, find a way of playing and build the identity. We've changed the shape today. Obviously, when we look at, you might do that three or four times in a season, respective of how the opposition are. You've got to deal with that. You know, you can see how direct they are. And they're very, very good at it, having been in the Championship last season, having Gareth been here for many, many years, the way they want to go and play and press and get the ball forward and play in your half of the pitch. You know, and you've got to deal with the second ball. Win the first one, win the second one. It's not easy to play against, you know. And then when you do get the ball, you've got to go and play. So we knew this was going to be a challenging fixture. Unfortunately, we've come on the wrong side of the 2-1 scoreline.
I just asked for some updates on some of the players who were sort of left out today, the likes of Charlie Kirk, who was in the stand near us, and DJ and Ben Watson. Have they picked up injuries, or is it just changing?
No,
and Adam Matthews as
no,
well?
As we just highlighted there, we've now got a very big squad of players from a small squad of players. You can only pick 11. So herein lies the situation. We've got, like, the lads come off the bench. We've got a run of games now. I'm sure everybody's going to be involved in it. You know, we've got... As I said, Saturday, Tuesday. And because of that, you know, competition for places is important. I'd like us to just be playing that one way, but we've got to show that adaptability. But likewise, you've got to go and win the games of football as well.
You're about trying to take that last 5 minutes into Tuesday now at Gillingham.
Well, listen, it's the next game's the most important one. We've got to get ready for that now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Good challenge by Gunter, and Charlton can break here. It's 3-on-2. Jayasimi switches the play across to Washington. Washington, ball forward to Stockley. Can he get there? Stockley, still with it. Jaden Stockley! Charlton 2-0. The great counter-attack from the Addicts. Washington, calm, composed on the ball. Pass forward to Stockley, who just let the ball run across him. Takes it past Jaskalainen and finishes.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from Nigel Adkins. Pressure's there. Obviously, I asked him about the chance, and he's not going to say anything other than the fans are entitled to their opinion. But obviously, one thing I did ask him is about the fact that we resort to the long ball so often, and he dropped a hint that he may look to take Jaden Stockley out of the equation. Is that the answer? I mean, funnily enough, I had just put that in my takeaways piece that I'd written at full time. Because, I mean, we need to find a way to not do that. And if it means not having Jaden in the side for a while, just to try and impose an identity on the team, is that the way to go about it?
I'd like to think that it wasn't, only because he's one of our key players. You know, we signed him for a fee. I'd rather actually try and play to his strengths more, have someone alongside him to try and help take that pressure off, rather than just lumping to him aimlessly all the time. It would feel a bit like a punishment to Jaden if we were to just take him out because of the way other people were trying to play. But if it's the only way that we can get this system out of our systems, if you like, then maybe we need to try it out and see what happens. But I'd like to think that we can work around it, because I don't think it would be fair on dropping Jaden, because his performances haven't been the worst. It's just that we're lumping it to him aimlessly, and he's being marked out of games. And when he is winning the headers, he seems to be penalised for fouling a player. So, yeah, I'd like to see us try and have someone alongside him to support him rather than drop him out completely.
All right, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that have come in. We've got our views from the fans bar, a feature coming up as well. My brother's just tweeted in for the first time ever, says Stockley needs to be kept out of the team. It may mean that we stop playing the silly hoofball. There we go. It's almost like he was listening live, which he's not. But there we go. So that's his answer to that. But yeah, plenty of you have tweeted and emailed in. Don't be too offended if we don't get to you, because again, I'm sure if you look on our social media channels, that plenty of people have sent messages. So we're not going to be able to get to all of them. But you know, once again, thank you to everyone who has sent in stuff. And don't forget, actually, after the game against Gillingham, you'll see Benji and Lewis floating around outside Priestfield, or possibly on the train back towards London after the game. So make sure you go up to them and speak to them into our microphones and get your views on Thursday's podcast. But Charlton FC Boy says, I think Nigel Adkins made the wrong decision to play five at the back. It was slightly more defensive than usual. I'm not a fan of a five, if I'm honest. The players are still playing the long ball, still second to every ball. There's no urgency in the team either to go and score. Corey Blackett-Taylor needs to definitely start on Tuesday, though, against Gillingham. Him, Lee and Lavelle were the only players who made a impact yesterday. It was genius from Ainsworth, according to Craig Bond. We wanted to make sure that they didn't create an identity today. That's what the Wickham manager said. He says even the opposition can work it out. Jack says easy. When I said what needs to change, he says we need a new manager. There's plenty out there who would want it. Addicted 2021 says go all out for Chris Wilder. He just gave an interview saying he'd consider League One if the project was ambitious and progressive. It's the most critical role. Yes, he'll be more expensive, but at least try and get him. JJ can get the lads playing with pride from Tuesday onwards. In the meantime, Timsy says tactically we've been shocking this season. The team has no identity. I honestly couldn't tell what style of football Nigel Adkins is trying to instill. We hear how good training is, but on match days it's like no one has a clue. We never have a presence in the midfield. And then he adds, to me it seems Adkins is struggling with not knowing his players, but also struggling with the quality of tactics being used against him in League One. The quality in this league has moved on to a much higher level since he's last managed a club in it. Daniel says, two more games, otherwise it's adios to Nigel Adkins. Chris says, get the feeling that either the players don't believe in the tactics or some of them just aren't passionate enough. Was impressed with Corey Blackett-Taylor and Elliot Lee when they came on. Both tried to make stuff happen in attack, but we left it too late to get anything from the game. We need a reaction on Tuesday. Louis K says, personally, we need a new manager. The tactics Adkins are playing just aren't working. He says, if Neil Harris comes in, assuming the rumours about him being at Adams Park are true, and then they might as well relegate us now. I saw someone say he was there. I'd be shocked if Thomas was just reeling out a new manager to sit behind the current one. It's, you know, managers go and watch games all the time. I wouldn't read too much into it if anyone was there. David Young says, whilst we would agree with your assessment, how would anyone explain the complete difference when compared with the end of last season? That's one of the things that confuses us the most, obviously, Lewis, is that Nigel did well towards the end of last season. Why is it so different this year?
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? I can't even put my finger on it. I have no idea. But whether it's because we just haven't had the pre-season we wanted or something, I don't know. But the way that we're lining up at the moment and the way we're churning out these performances is alarming and worrying, because, like we've said earlier on in the show, our ambition this season is to get promoted or be in that top six and be in the picture. But we already find ourselves, you know, what is it, sort of 10 points off it, something like that, maybe even more. So
Nine at the moment.
Nine. So, it's not ideal. Exactly. And like we say, if the season's over and by the end of September, something's seriously wrong. So, I can't put my finger on it. Don't understand why. I don't think we've properly replaced Anike. You've got to think how many points we picked up by bringing Chucks off the bench and making that impact. We haven't done that. And we haven't been able to do that because we haven't had the bodies in. And now we do. We're trying to get those bodies up to speed. So that's probably a big factor.
DFT says we need a change of manager and quick, and Dave says quite simply I would play 4-4-2. Wickham were playing championship football last season and were unlucky to get relegated. I would have settled for a point. Nigel Atkins talks a good game. The supporters are entitled to voice their opinions. Ultimately it's up to Thomas Sandgaard. So Darcy says, as each match passes I really really want to see something or hear something which makes me believe that Mr. Atkins is the right man at this time for Charlton Athletic. I wasn't convinced when he first joined. Yesterday's evidence continue to suggest that he is not, I'm afraid. Ken says, nice guys don't get results. We're second best in every department. No guts, no glory. If we don't act soon, it will be too late. It's a results-based industry, and the results so far are clear for all to see. Macca says, all I say, if we're losing or lose on Tuesday night, it will become very toxic, and the blame doesn't just lay with Nigel Atkins. The players need to take a look at themselves as well. Useless. The lot of them. Mark says, it looks to me like Atkins has lost the dressing room as players are not playing to the instructions given. The hitting long ball to Stockley is a waste of time as it just gives possession away. Need the ball to play from midfield and pass the ball on the floor. I fear that Nigel will be gone soon. Yeah, I mean, we heard in my interview there, Lewis, I did ask Nigel Atkins about the long ball thing, and he says that he said it before the game, he said it at half time, he said it after the game. He wants him to pass the ball, but obviously they're not listening to him.
Yeah, exactly that. It's all well and good coming out and saying you don't want him playing that way, but why are we? Like, you know, and it is alarming. If he is forcing into them all week to play a certain way, and then we're going out on a pitch on a Saturday or a Tuesday and lumping it long to Stockley, which is the opposite of what he wants, then there's something seriously wrong there. I don't think that's fully it. I think that the ultimate aim is to lump for Stockley, because we were doing it last season as well. That's the mainstay. Kick it long to Stockley. But when it's not working, be able to pass around it and try and build up from the back. But we can't do it. We just get desperate. Fans get on the back because we're performing badly and we're trying to force something out of it by lumping it long to Stockley and hoping it comes off. And it isn't, because people have sussed that out. It's an easy way of defending, you know. People have worked us out, six games into the season?
Yeah, and Alan just says, I said a couple of weeks ago that Stockley is the problem. We played better 10 minutes yesterday without him, and also in the Crawley game as we were able to play the ball on the ground. I feel sorry for Stockley, as Atkins should be in training working on getting to the ball to him without going for the long ball. Right, Robert says, Atkins comes across as being too nicey-nicey. I'm not one for being too hasty about saying managers must go, but I can't see these dire performances changing overnight. So on the basis, sorry, Nigel, hand it over to JJ and Jason Yule for a temporary role. Passion and steel is needed. Tyler says, it was horrific. The worst football I've seen since the Slade era. The only positive was Corey Blackett. Taylor, for me, Atkins has to fix this. He's tactically clueless and is well past it. James says, nothing is working. No part of the lineup is clicking in a way for us to build around. Little, if any, time left to salvage the season. Simon says, when Thomas said Premier League in 5 years, I didn't realise he meant the Isthmian Premier. He's out of his depth, running the club. He needs to get an inexperienced football CEO. He said he can run a successful club by keeping it simple, but hiring Jed Roddy has made it complicated. Rick says, people were warned about this dinosaur, but no, Mr. Positive sucked most in. Actions are better than words. Make the most of your day, people. That's from Rick. And I mean, this last one, Atkins needs to win 5 in a row to save himself from the sack, and he's got 2 hopes, Bob Hope and No Hope, and Bob's dead. And that's from A Smaverick as well. Right, let's hear from some fans who were there yesterday and spoke to Lewis after the game as well. This is our new feature we've been doing this season. Probably the worst time to start this feature, because or maybe the best, because a lot of fans want to get some stuff off their chest. This is the views from the fans bar after yesterday's performance at Adams Park.
I thought we were poor all over, pretty much. We played periods of all right football, but I think at the end of the game, it doesn't matter, because we concede 2 poor goals. And last 10-15, we were all right, but it counts for nothing, because we just weren't good enough all together.
We didn't expect much else today against Wickham. We were worse than we were last week, which is hard to believe. It's hard to say what's going wrong too, because he's trying different players. One minute they're in, one minute they're out. He's obviously thinking of giving people a chance as well. But at the moment, I don't think it's about individuals. It's about the team, the way the team is playing. And that's not right, whatever's going wrong.
We just
wrong.
Kept poofing it to Jaden, who just either wasn't getting a touch of it or was just knocking it onto himself. And I think at half-time, not that I blame him, I think we should have taken him off and tried something differently. And it was just too little too late in the last 5 minutes, really. I can't believe we almost snatched it, because I think that would have been an apology to Wickham, really, I think, you know, for us to have snatched it, but we almost did.
I think he can only work with the tools he's got. And I think in his heart of hearts, he would wish he had different players out there. I think we left a lot of things too late. We didn't get the players we wanted, and he's making the most of what he's got at the moment. But when you see the impact that people like Blackett Taylor and Elliot Lee make when they come on, you know, Elliot Lee's got quick feet, quick brain, and that's what we need a little bit more of. You can get the ball into people's feet like that around the box, he can make things happen. You get the ball out wide to Blackett Taylor, he was taking three people away, which created space for other people. It's one of the reasons I think we did better in the last few minutes. It was all about Blackett Taylor and Lee Elliott creating those opportunities, you know. So that's two positives, and I think we must be looking at those and saying those two have got to start. You know, they're worth 90 minutes.
I hate it when you're calling for the head of the manager so early in the season, but last week he was right to be angry in the changes, but it hasn't worked this week. In fact, I agree with Gary, I think we're worse this week overall than we were against Cheltenham. At least the second half, we looked good until Cheltenham started to break the game up and be quite cynical, and we hadn't got a response to that. To be honest with you, apart from injury time today, we didn't look like we had a hope of doing anything. And it could have been worse. It could have been 3 or 4. We could have been out of sight before we even got that late goal. So you have to look at Atkins tactically, but I don't like you're not fit to wear the shirt. I think you save that for when you think your team just hasn't tried. And I think the team, some of the players are working really, really hard today, but it's just, they're just not working as a team.
No, he's got a big job on, I wouldn't want it, but no, I think it's too early to blame the manager.
I reckon Atkins could be out if this, maybe today, maybe Tuesday if we lose again, but doesn't look good. Yeah, I can't see us getting many points out of that, if any, to be honest. And I reckon if it continues, maybe Tuesday, maybe next Saturday. But if it continues, he's definitely out in the next couple of games.
There we go. Thanks to those fans who spoke to Lewis. Lewis, I'll put you on the spot a little bit to keep going out and getting these. But, I mean, it's good that people can speak sort of with a level head after the game, but at the same time, you know, give us their very honest opinions.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I'm really enjoying doing the feature because, like you say, you're capturing the fans' emotions immediately after the full-time whistle, you know, and it helps, you know, like you say, get their sort of concerns off their chest early doors and get it out on the show, which is great. So cheers to everyone for keep getting involved in it. It's just a shame that they're not more positive at the moment, but hopefully we turn it around and we get those more positive reactions later on in the season.
Yeah, right. Let's have a look at a few emails then as well. Hi to Jonathan West from the Upbeats, who sent us his regards. I hope you're well, mate. Chris says, we were good for the first 20 minutes and then absolute rubbish. They didn't look like a team in lack of pressing. It felt like there was no plan. I was pleased when Nigel Atkins was appointed, and he certainly raised the bar at the end of last season. I'm pretty sure he works all week telling the players how he wants them to play, but whatever he is telling them, it's not getting through as we keep being served up this second-rate football. I don't know what the answer is, but I suspect Thomas has the hardest decision yet to make, and my daughter had to sit through that as her first Charlton game. My God, we will never see her again. I'm sorry, Chris, that happened, but she will never attend a game again after that. Hopefully she enjoyed the excitement of being in a raucous atmosphere as well. We should say, actually, Lewis, the away fans were loud yesterday, weren't they? They're excellent.
Yeah, outstanding as usual. Really, really loud. Cheered the team on. They were right behind them from the start, obviously, but you know, once it starts going sour, it goes sour, because especially when we're following in such big numbers. But yeah, the fans were incredibly vocal yesterday, and a good laugh with the old firework display before kickoff as well.
Yeah, that wasn't a laugh for me. That was going off about 15 yards in front of my face at the exact time I was on air on Radio London doing my intro, and I listened back to it. It sounded like I was sort of coming from a war zone, basically, and I nearly got smoked out as well. But yeah, that was completely unnecessary, but there we go. Right, Richard Church. Hi, guys. Obviously disappointed with how things are going. I've been reflecting on how all the good times Charlton have had have been when we've been managed by people with Charlton in their blood. Andy Nelson, Mike Bailey. He says, Lenny Lawrence, question mark, and Alan Kirbysy, Chris Powell, and Lee Bowyer. Maybe we're just one of those clubs that work best when coached and managed by those who really feel what this club is all about. I think it's probably too soon to sack Nigel. Let's give it 10 games, but if he is to go, then I'd really like to see JJ and Jason Yule be given the chance to turn things around for us. Thanks for a great show, as always. I know it must be tough when we're losing. That's from Richard. Yeah, it's always certainly tough on days like today. But yeah, that's certainly an idea I've seen muted by a few people. McSquared says, I hate to say it, but I'm beginning to think that Nigel Adkins' days could already be numbered. The team is showing no signs of improvement. We've come far too one-dimensional and predictable, and Nigel is sounding like a broken record. Any success we've had in the last 30 years has been with a former player like Kerbs, Powell or Bowyer at the helm, and no outsider has impressed. Therefore, maybe it is time to give JJ and Jason a go with Kerbs in as an advisor or mentor. I'm pretty sure it couldn't be any worse in the current situation. Action is required urgently, otherwise it's going to end up in League Two, and we should know when we should have been challenging for automatic promotion. If anything, we seem to have gone backwards since Adkins took over from Lee Bowyer. The Grim Reaper is already waiting in the wings. Right, Tony says, morning gents, thanks as always for your shows. Thought I'd best do this when I was sober this morning. I can't see past this at the moment. I'm starting to believe we need to change Adkins. The tactics are just so poor. We look quite clueless, if I'm honest. No real patterns of play, and players don't seem to know the roles and responsibilities. I honestly can't see how this can be changed when we've had all of pre-season to embed this. I know we've had new players who need time, but if we just look at what we're trying to do rather than who is trying to do it, I think we would all come to the same conclusion. To top it off, Adkins doesn't recognise the away support yesterday. To me, it appears that he knows that the wheels are coming off this cart quickly. That's from Tony and Elton. Yeah, so I did see a couple of people mention that Nigel doesn't clap the away fans. I mean, to be fair, I think he's in a bit of a no-win situation there, because if he does come over and clap him, he's going to look like he's taking a mick a little bit after the chanting and whatnot throughout the game. So I understand why he didn't, but at the same time, I understand that sometimes you like to see the manager sort of acknowledge you, I guess. Right, Duncan, I was there yesterday. I'm afraid to say I can't see how Adkins can turn it around. What surprises me and frustrates me for the second week running, following a week's worth on the training ground before the game, is that we were outplayed, outfought and outfought. Whatever he is doing, it isn't working. Probably what sums up where we are at the moment is when we scored, there wasn't a wall of noise to rouse the players to equalise. We just sarcastically sang that we scored a goal. In my view, the reason for this is those who hadn't left early, not criticising those who did, though. We all knew that we deserved absolutely nothing from the game. It would have been a travesty and embarrassing if we ended up with a draw. He said, two things stood out for me yesterday. Stockley does not move around enough to make himself available for balls into feet. If like the last few games, he's dominated by the opposition centre-backs and we've got nothing. It says, Akin Fainwo's distribution is awful. Every long ball he hits goes out of play or to the opposition. To cap off a miserable performance, he was asleep for the second goal. And Duncan adds, so pleased I've got tickets for Gillingham. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of people possibly regretting that decision. But who knows, maybe that'll be the game where it all turns around. Phil says, another shocking performance overall. Hopefully Nigel will put the three up top theory to bed after that. We need to play two up top and closer together. Having three, whoever the personnel is, seems to make us have three individuals too far apart to feed off each other. It's a must-win game on Tuesday against Gillingham. A defeat would be disastrous. Dom Richardson says, hi guys, David Jarvis tweeted earlier about how Charlton managers who've done well for the club have all had a prior connection to Charlton. This was my worry when Nigel Adkins came in despite previous successes. How much of a problem do you guys think that Nigel is compared to the other factors? So the question is really, and it is, I guess we've discussed it, but how much of this comes down to Nigel and how much of it comes down to those extenuating circumstances? I think we need to know the answer sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think that this all falls at Nigel's door. I don't think the blame can be fully on him. I think that there are mistakes made in the build-up to the season, and I think we've just underestimated it, and that's something we're suffering with now. But also, the way that, you know, the way the performances are at the moment, and the way we're lining up, the way we're playing, Nigel has to take responsibility for that. That's not in the boardroom or anywhere else. You know, that's purely what's happening at the training ground. Are they listening? If they're not listening, why aren't they listening? They're those reasons for that. But I do think that he's been handed a bit of a trump card, really, because he probably wanted to be better prepared for the season, like I said earlier, and we weren't, and that's not his fault. So the blame can't fall solely on Nigel, but sadly the football manager is the person that leads a team out every Saturday and a Tuesday or whatever, and at the moment he's leading it out to defeat most times.
Excellent stuff. Right, I think we're going to leave it there. It's been a tough show, as I'm sure you can imagine. Thanks to everyone who's tweeted and emailed in. And as I've mentioned, sorry if there's a few tweets and emails we haven't been able to get to, but we've got quite a few that have come through. But yeah, I think we should call it a day there. Hopefully, we'll see your Charlton side who perform a little bit better when we travel to Gillingham on Tuesday. Short journey. Thank God it's not a derby game, otherwise it'd be really high pressure, but there we go. No one really cares about Gillingham, but we do care about Charlton and we need to see a performance. So yeah, thanks for everyone who's tuned in and sent your messages in. Lewis, thanks for joining me on the show this evening.
No worries, mate. See you at Gillingham.
Yeah, looking forward to it already. Don't forget, after the game against Gillingham, look out for Benji and for Lewis, who'll be after your post-match reaction for Thursday's pod, and make sure you tune in on Thursday as we look back at whatever happens at Gillingham, hoping and praying that we can finally turn this season around. I think I've said that about 12 times already this season. There we go. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.